LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Now, two federal judges have struck down most of President Trump's tariffs. A second ruling today from a federal district court judge in Washington ruled President Trump does not have the legal authority to impose tariffs on an emergency basis. You might call it self-dozing. First Elon Musk, and now the highest levels of his Department of Government Efficiency, are exiting Washington. A federal judge is stopping the Trump administration from revoking Harvard's ability to enroll international students. Professor Nancy Gibbs with the Harvard Kennedy School tells ABC News.
In a way, this is about all of higher education all over the country. This is about students all over the country. This is about research and progress all over the country and all over the world. This is in no way is this just about Harvard. We just happen to be the face of it, but this is about everyone.
Reports say Israel and Hamas may have a 60-day ceasefire deal. The White House says it's a U.S. plan, but didn't confirm a truce. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced another new multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, the new lawsuit seeks to stop the Trump administration from reducing funding for scientific research in the state, specifically at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Milwaukee. It requests a court order blocking two National Science Foundation orders that paused multiple projects and would leave the universities unable to pay for research materials. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is accepting applications for the Beaver Management Plan Committee. According to a press release, the agency is seeking organizations that focus on things like trapping, fishing, agriculture, and conservation. The committee will be tasked with providing input to the Department of Natural Resources during the development of an updated beaver management plan. More information can be found on the DNR's Beaver Management Plan webpage, and applications will be accepted until June 20th. A group of wakeboating enthusiasts have filed the lawsuit against a Burnett County town, claiming an ordinance meant to restrict certain artificial wake activities on its lakes is unconstitutional. The lawsuit was filed against the town of Scott earlier this month and requests injunctive relief against enforcement efforts of what they call the vague, overbroad, and illegal ordinance. The ordinance was approved in November, and this lawsuit is the first legal action filed over wake-enhanced boating in Wisconsin amid growing controversy over the issue. Town of Cable residents voted to approve a split in town clerk and treasurer responsibilities into two separate positions at their recent annual meeting. The vote to make the change was unanimous, with officials saying the workload of the combined job had grown substantially and it was no longer possible to have one person handle both. The town clerk and town treasurer will now be two separate positions, with the clerk handling disbursements and the treasurer handling deposits. It also means the town will not need to conduct an audit every year. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jair Alexander remains absent. The team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jair back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, bro, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then becoming partly cloudy tonight. A low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer for tomorrow. A high in the low 80s. And low to mid-80s with sunshine for this weekend. Currently it's 72 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 Mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan will be here to talk about the House budget and things hidden inside. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor in hour number 2. Don't miss
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Mattenair on Air.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Happy Thursday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're almost to Friday. Tariffs were off yesterday. Tariffs back on as of, like, I don't know, an hour ago. I got to tell you, folks, I have never experienced anything like this level of crazy in my entire life. I have never read anything like this. In all of my training as an economist, it is bananas. But speaking of bananas, a man that knows exactly what to do with them is here to talk to us today about whether or not no tax on tips is quite the panacea that some think it may be. His name is Chef Greg Leon. He is the owner and operator of Amelinda on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee, a 3-time James Beard Award finalist. 4 times. Thank you, Greg, for correcting me. As far as I'm concerned, a guy slanging down some of the best, most interesting food in the state of Wisconsin or the Midwest.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show, Greg. We've been on a few times talking about food, which I love to talk about. But we're here today to talk about tax on tips. You put out, my friend, a post on Facebook that I thought brought up some of the most important complexities about this idea of no tax on tips. And I wanted to start with just this basic question, Greg. I think you and I come from a place of agreement that people that work, especially in service industry jobs, do not make a sufficient base wage. It is not working well. Tips in general in this country are problematic for a whole gamut of reasons. People that work in these sorts of jobs that receive gratuities, I think, deserve a sustainable wage that will allow them to live in full dignity, and that we shouldn't be needing to rely on a tax-free tip system to get people to that life of dignity. But let's dig deeper. Tell me why you felt compelled to put out this Facebook post about no tax on tips.
First of all, I agree with everything you just said. And, well, because, you know, at first when they started talking about this, even during the campaign, I was like, okay, maybe this is a good idea, which, you know, coming from that man, I had to take my temperature because I never agree with anything he says. But I was like, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it'll be good for the employer, and maybe it'll be good for the employee. Looking into it a little bit more, and I'm not an economist. I know about food, and that's about it. But, like, I do try to read up on these things. It's not it's not the most amazing thing as they are painting it out to be. So, you know, it has a very limited impact on low-income workers. So I think the number is 25,000 is what's not taxed. Anything after 25,000 don't get taxed. Right. But a lot of people make less than that. It's only cash tips also, so it's not cash and credit card. I will tell you, I do the checkout every night at my restaurant. Very rarely do they get cash tips.
Yeah.
It's mostly on credit cards. So it's not going to have that great impact. 36% of people who work in the tip industry or work and get tipped, that's how they get paid. About 36% live under poverty, so they already don't pay any tax, so they pay very little. So it's not going to have that great impact.
Yeah, the couple of really important things there. We gotta track down whether or not cash tips includes the credit card tip. From what you understand,
from what I understand, it's cash tips, not credit card. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
But everything I've seen says cash.
Okay. What I think is even more important, even assuming that it would apply to tips provided on a credit card receipt, the reality is that 1/3 of all of the workers that Trump and others are trying to take credit for doing a big favor for, meaning tipped workers, over 1/3 of tipped workers don't pay any federal income tax at all.
Correct.
Full stop, period. Now, Jacob, there was a little bit of sound of a congressman. This is Congressman Tom Suozzi during one of the congressional hearings about the budget bill, talking about no taxes on tips. And he made a couple of, I thought, pretty important points. Can we run the sound? The
president said, your tips will be 100% yours. Does this tax bill continue the payroll tax on people's tips?
Yes, it does, Mr.
Overtime. The president said, your overtime will be tax-free. Does this bill continue the payroll tax on overtime?
It does not exempt overtime from the payroll tax.
The president said he's going to remove taxes on Social Security. Does this bill remove taxes on Social Security benefits?
The legislation provides an increased exemption amount.
But does it remove taxes on Social Security benefits as promised by the president?
It does not change Social Security.
Okay.
So they get into overtime and Social Security. But here was the nugget that I thought was so important, Greg. And that is your payroll taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody will still, every single person, yeah. It's not tax-free tips. It's you're still going to have to pay payroll taxes on the tips.
Yeah, so you have to pay, what is it, Social Security, Medicare, all that good stuff.
And in Wisconsin, okay, so, we've got unemployment insurance. That's part of your payroll tax. You will still be paying that.
Correct. So it's not the huge saving. You know, it also, this is going to incentivize business owners to expand tip pay, you know, tip being the way people get paid.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about,
and we want to get rid of that.
Yeah, the tipping system for work in the United States is deeply flawed. It is not working. You even talk to people that work, let's just pick like the super duperty duperty high end professional. They have been a server for 50 years. They do super well. Those people will say, "I didn't start out in that job. Boy, did it suck to have to work for tips because it was so hit or miss. It was not a constant. You couldn't count on it. It is inequitable. It leads to harassment in the workplaces." And fundamentally, what I found interesting was that the National Restaurant Association was very supportive of the no tax on tips.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. You're a restaurant owner, Greg, and I wanted to ask you why that isn't surprising that the National Restaurant Owners Association was like, "Oh yeah, that's great, no tax on tips."
Because they don't really represent the small independent restaurant owner or the restaurant worker. They represent like the big restaurant conglomerates and the big companies that make equipment for restaurants and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
they're not talking to us.
Yes, and the hook there, ladies and gentlemen, is that they don't want to pay an actual living wage, and if you paid people a living wage, their big restaurant, mega restaurant conglomerates would be making less profit. Not zero profit, just less, because that is built into these mega restaurant chain businesses. business models. It just doesn't work. Whenever I see a tipping situation, Greg, first of all, I try to be one of those people that tips the heck out of folks because I know how hard the work is. But secondly, I'm always concerned for the tipped workers' well-being. It creates opportunities for both restaurant owner exploitation or other business owner exploitation, as well as whomever the person is that gives that tip discretionarily. You know, hey, sweetheart, why aren't you smiling a little
right?
bit more?
Yeah. I'm not going to tip you because I don't like the skin of your color, the color of your skin, you know, that kind of situation.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, I'll go on these discussions on social media and we'll start, you know, people will be talking about tipping and, you know, I'll say something and I'll say, you know, I'm a restaurant owner. Like, well, why don't you pay your employees more? Listen, I wish I could come in here and pay everybody $35 an hour. That would be great. That would be a dream come true. But unfortunately, the amount of money I make for this restaurant is limited on how much I charge my customers.
Yep.
And so it's this dynamic where, okay, I can increase my prices so I can increase the hourly wages and give it the tips, but I'm going to lose customers because here in the United States, most people do not pay what food costs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they're used to paying for food for a lower price, cheap price. So if I increase the prices of Amelinda to where they should be, would be out of business probably within 6 months to a year.
Well, in this, I've talked to a lot of small business owners, both in the restaurant industry and just small business owners writ large. And I mean small business owners that are of the size that your small business is, Greg. And one of the questions that I ask them is, hey, if we saw a federal minimum wage of $20 an hour, right? And it included people that are currently in the tipped worker category, meaning you and every single other you that's out there that you're competing with, everybody had to pay the same minimum sustainable wage, it would allow businesses to actually be competing. You wouldn't have just Greg, just Amelinda restaurant taking the hit, trying to pay people a livable wage. Everyone would have to do so. And it would adjust our labor economics in a way that would help people actually be able to live in dignity for their hard hours of work.
So we pay our servers $8 an hour. Plus tips. So that's above what
way above should,
but you know, I want them to come to work and be productive, and I want their brain to be here at work.
Yes.
And so if I can help them not worry about, oh, I gotta pay rent next week, I gotta buy dog food. And I'm not saying that what I pay $8 is not good a lot. I mean, let's be honest, I think there's restaurants in Milwaukee that might be paying a little bit more. It's all I can pay without going out. And I think we just need to change this culture of both tipping and of customers, normalizing paying what the food is worth, what the experience is worth.
What the experience is worth, what the worker is worth.
What the worker is worth. I, every now and then, I will work on the floor at the restaurant. I have an incredible team in the kitchen now, so it allows me to do other things. So I'll host, or I'll, you know, and I'll help them bring food. And I would never want to do that every day. I mean, that's a tough job.
It is damnedly tough. And I'll just say this about the, why aren't you smiling more, honey? This is a little Maggie Dawn story. I cannot, first of all, I worked at Heinemann's restaurant in Milwaukee, doing breakfast and lunch shifts. Brutal. We had 10 kinds of toast that we had to assemble on the plate. And hey, I wanted the whole wheat health nut bread and not this. Anyways, I digress.
That sounds horrible.
I never got sexually harassed at the job. That wasn't the clientele. It is a fairly frequent occurrence for many people that work for tips. I will just say this. People that, oh, you're a lawyer, Maggie. Oh, you're an economist. I'm sure that's never happened to you. I will tell everybody this. I kid you not, after testifying and providing legal advice as the county's top lawyer at a hearing at Milwaukee County, I had a supervisor, an elected official, come up to me and say, I know this one was really intense and we were talking about some really tough stuff. Would you like some feedback? And I said, sure, I always want feedback. And he said, you know what you need to do, Maggie? You need to smile
a
little more.
That is horrible.
If lawyers are getting told this, I guarantee everybody is getting told this when you're working for tips, and I wasn't working for tips. Chef Greg of Amelinda Restaurant on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee. What's your Facebook?
Greg Leon. The one for Amelinda is Amelinda. Yeah, and then one for Amelinda is Amelinda.
wonderful. I'll be back again soon, Greg, to eat your beautiful and amazing food. I love you, my brother. Keep up the fight.
Good seeing you.
I'll be back.
We'll try.
I'll be back right here. Our tip discussion continues on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. How are you doing this fine Thursday afternoon? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we're going to have a Civic Media, and I think pretty much maybe a statewide exclusive for you before this show is out. Everybody is well aware that Senator Ron Johnson gave some remarks yesterday before the Milwaukee Press Club. It's been widely reported. We've got audio from that because it was kooky. And there were lies, and it was, you know, typical kooky, conspiracy theory-esque, lying Ron Johnson-type shtick. We've got that sound. But then he went from the press club to the Medical College of Wisconsin. You know, where there are doctors that, you know things about science and asked him questions about actual science. And Ron Johnson said way more kooky, crazy things. He was also on Tucker Carlson's Russian propagandist podcast recently. We're parsing through all that. It was like 2 hours of rambling. I mean, one of the things that I figured out is, and I'll just say this, I got my senior producer, Jacob, on. If you ever hear me like show up on the radio and to all you listeners too one day, and out of my mouth comes just like a torrent of crazy conspiracy theory, nonsense, and lies, in there somewhere, I'm trying to cover up something, obviously. It's just, I think it's a really effective rhetorical tactic. You know, the next time I'm in an argument with somebody that I can't do it anymore, I'm just going to hit him with just a bunch of nonsense. Right? Just a flood of non-facts, alternative facts, whatever you want to call it. They're called lies to regular people. And I'll just win the argument that way. They just won't be able to keep up with the fact checking or the Maggie. That's not that. I'll just keep hitting them with a bunch of crazy, kooky lies and nonsense that I read on the interwebs and didn't take the time to Google and try to, you know, at least find one unbiased resource. It's effective. I mean, just taking an observation today, what are the few things that have happened in the last 24 hours and how do we possibly keep up with them? Again, I started with the International Trade Court in the United States, plus another federal judge yesterday went, no, Trump's tariffs, there is no worldwide economic emergency. We're not in an economic, he can't invoke that act. But they're back on today. Harvard, Donald Trump says, you can't have any more international students. They sue. A court says, yes, you can, but he put it on pause. But really, I don't know what it means. Does anybody? That'll go up on appeal. In and amongst Ron Johnson's conspiracy-laden vaccine theories, oh, yeah, DHHS is saying, oh, well, you know what's good when eggs are really expensive? When there's bird flu knocking out whole reams of chickens. So, you know, they can't produce eggs, so there are fewer eggs, so it gets more expensive. You know what's a good idea when that is going on? I know. For RFK Jr., the man who said in, you know, before Congress, don't take any medical or scientific advice from me. Not me. Yeah, they'll just cancel the research funding to help combat vaccines, or excuse me, to cancel the research funding into the vaccines to combat the bird flu. Like, that happened yesterday. The whole, the meme coin dinner was last week. I can't even catch up. Here's another headline. Vietnam Vets annual ceremony has been relocated from Washington, D.C. to Donald Trump's birthday army parade. That came up. Oh, Hannah Dugan, her legal team, the judge that's being maliciously prosecuted by the Trump administration for having the audacity to say maybe an arrest warrant needs to comply with the federal constitution and our due process requirements and go talk to my boss about executing your piece of paper that has been reviewed by no court and does not articulate probable cause for an arrest. Go talk to my boss about that. Her team filed their legal brief today arguing for dismissal. That happened on my way in. It's so much. But that's the point. When we can't keep up, that's the point. And this is important when we're talking about things like tip tax. There absolutely will be tax on tips. They didn't get rid of the payroll tax on tips, so there's still tax on tips. But what they're relying on is people not paying enough attention to actually understand the issues. That people who may be scraping by in workplaces and in jobs that require tips will simply hear no tax on tips and go, oh, great, that's wonderful. I'm so glad the president did that for me. That's what they're relying on. Not that we all get down a level or two and say, why do tips make any sense? Why do we have them at all? Why is minimum wage still at 3.25? Excuse me, that's, I think, the service industry minimum. It's 7.25 is the actual federal minimum wage. Why is any of that okay? And just as a point of clarification, yes, it is cash tips. Cash does include debit card-based tips as well as credit card-based tips. But here's a catch. Anybody who has ever worked in a restaurant, sometimes they pool tips. chefs, busboys, and gals get them. These tips have to be received by an individual. We've got just the expert on tips and tipping and the tipping economy from the Center for American Progress to help us understand more deeply, to not be caught up in the flood of news. Coming up next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is calling on residents to help track bat population trends over the summer. The state's cave bats will be returning to their summer roosts over the next few weeks, which could include places like barns or bat houses. DNR officials are asking residents to track the number of bats they see emerging on one night between June 6th and June 8th, and one night between July 18th and July 20th as part of the Great Wisconsin Bat Count. The bats should emerge just after sunset, and counting typically takes about half an hour. State lawmakers held a hearing on a proposed bill that would give drivers for rideshare and food delivery apps access to additional benefits. The legislation would allow drivers working as independent contractors to access a statewide benefits portal through which their employers could contribute to health care and retirement accounts. Those speaking against the legislation in the hearing noted that those companies are not required to make contributions to the portal, and therefore the benefits included in the portal for those drivers are not guaranteed. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has ruled that small communities do not need permission from the state to stop using electronic voting machines. The decision stems from a lawsuit filed against the town of Thornapple in Rusk County, alleging the town broke state law when it switched from electronic voting machines to hand-counted paper ballots in the April and August elections last year. The decision was 5-1, with Wisconsin Election Commission Chair Ann Jacobs disagreeing with the analysis that found the municipalities don't need the state's permission. A Duluth man accused of stabbing a man who was panhandling before fleeing police has officially been charged with assault. According to court documents, the Duluth Police Department responded to reports of the stabbing near Superior Street and Lake Avenue last Thursday. The victim told officers he had been stabbed in the neck but managed to escape and call for help. After reviewing security footage, 37-year-old James Taylor Jr. was identified as a suspect. When officers caught up to him, he allegedly had a Swiss Army knife and blood on his hands. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tom Cruise thanked moviegoers and studios alike, especially Paramount Pictures, for what the actor called their unwavering support for the eighth installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, and its biggest opening yet. I don't think that's ever happened. It's a good sign for the franchise and the studio, as the price tag for the film is $400 million. Think about that. The eighth movie in the franchise is one of the most expensive ever made, and it's going to turn a profit very quickly. Speaking of Cruise, the actor says he hopes to make movies into his hundreds. That includes action. That should be interesting. We won't have to wait long, though, to see him in his next action role. The Mission Impossible star told the Australian Today show that Top Gun 3 is happening. Cruise is 62 years old currently, and I'm guessing those stunts will be a little bit harder to pull off at 102. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then becoming partly cloudy tonight, to a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. And low to mid-80s with sunshine for this weekend. Currently at 72 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, TV producer Mary Picorni Donlan makes the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kapeski from Appleton Cigar joins me in studio. Then author Laura Enright joins to talk vampires.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. There is a theme that I hope you all can glean from the show on a day-over-day basis. And one of the things, one of the strategies deployed by the MAGA regime is to keep the news coming at such a fast and furious clip that we can't really pay attention enough to understand what's really happening or to understand the actual merits of the administration's position, but generously assuming that there may be a few on a given issue, nor the true counterarguments, nor can we get past what I'm going to call the difference between rhetoric and results. Rhetoric and punchy one-liners, really easy for us to remember. And Donald Trump admittedly has got a ton of them. The man speaks in meme. It's not English. It's meme, I think. And he's got a lot of them. And oftentimes these public policy questions, they are susceptible to sound biting if that's all you're interested in doing. But it requires a moment. It requires some additional work on our parts as consumers of information that want to be good faith consumers of information to understand what's really happening. So we try to do that every day. We started today with my friend and restaurant owner of the amazing spot called Amalinda, Greg Leon. He had posted on Facebook basically saying, don't be fooled by the, quote, no tax on tips. And he listed out a whole number of the reasons why this is not really going to help anybody in a meaningful long-term way. In other words, when you get past the rhetoric and you look at the results won't be anywhere near what people who need this the most might hope them to be. It is, at the end of the day, the Donald Trump playbook of politics, the bait and switch. You think you know what you're getting, but it's not going to actually turn out like that one little bit. Our next expert, she is from the Center for American Progress Fund Action Center. Let me try this again. The Center for American Progress Action Fund. There it came out all in one fell swoop. Her name is Lily Roberts. She is the managing director of their inclusive growth section, and she's going to help us all get smarter about the tax on tips. And the fact, let's just start with this. What are the three or four things about how this is actually going to operate that people need to know? We were talking a little bit about this before you came on, Lily, to help put this in proper context.
Yeah, so the no tax on tips piece of the budget reconciliation bill that's currently about to be voted on in the Senate is this idea that you would carve out tips that you get from an individual from having to be taxed. And that's never been tried before. There's, there are a lot of logistical questions about how that would happen. And it would apply to a really, really small group of people. So about, you know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all. They're so low income because wages in this country are really, really low. And they're particularly low for people who make what's called the subminimum wage. So in most places, Wisconsin included, but, you know, across the country, there's a regular minimum wage. And at the federal level, that's $7.25. A lot of states and cities have raised that pretty significantly. But then there's this
Wisconsin hasn't. It's still locked in at 7.25.
I was looking at the map and like, you guys are being eclipsed by the Dakotas. Like that is, it's not great news for Wisconsin.
And by every single one of our neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's,
we're a weed desert and a low wage desert. That's a whole nother topic for another day. Go ahead, Lily. The sub minimum wage, even lower than the 7.25.
Right. So nationally, that's $2.13 an hour, which is just an absolutely ridiculous, like that doesn't even count as a wage. That has been frozen in time since 1991. You know, it's been a really reprehensibly long time since we raised the federal minimum wage in the first place. But then the fact that that's not even a minimum, it's even lower than that for people who work for tips. And we're going to be mostly talking about people who work for tips in this conversation. But it's important to know that the subminimum wage applies to people with disabilities, too. So there are whole groups of people, workers, we've said, you actually aren't even worth the minimum wage. And that's the shameful part of this. The no tax on tips piece is going to be a little bit of a financial giveaway to a very small number of people, but it does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. And that is the piece that sort of is the bait and switch that you were talking about here.
And just in case you're keeping track, Wisconsin, we do a little bit better than the federal minimum wage when we talk about the subminimum wage. People
just
are
barely.
Just barely. It's like 233. I looked it up during the break. Mm-hmm. Folks, just so that you know, when I worked at Heinemann's, I was talking about this with my last guest, slanging hash and eggs and breakfast and sandwiches in my lunch shift back in the 90s. I don't tell you exactly when. Yeah, I was making $2.33 as a base wage. And God bless our customers. On occasion, I'd get, you know, the older folks leaving me a couple of 2.75. It wasn't really getting it done if we had slow shifts. It was, I could not pay for my gas basically some weeks to get to work. And I was on the bus. Let's dig in a little bit more. So first point is one third of all tipped workers don't make enough to even benefit one little bit because they don't pay federal income tax because they're not above the federal poverty level. Second thing is, this isn't a permanent tax break, is it, Lily?
No, it's a 4-year tax break. It would go away. But the things that wouldn't go away from this bill are permanent cuts to SNAP and Medicaid. It would make the Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance much more expensive. Those are programs that people depend on all the time and that they need access to throughout their life, especially people who work for low wages. We know that a ton of folks on Medicaid are working low wage jobs. People who use SNAP, they're working low wage jobs. They need that supplement to their income so that their family doesn't starve. Those things would be permanent and they would be really dramatic cuts. And so they're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. Which, by the way, would be structured for so people who make up to $160,000 could declare their income as tips and then not pay taxes on that. So
I wanted that,
that gives away the game a little bit.
It does. And I wanted to get into that a little bit. But there's a second point, of course. I talked about this a bit with Greg, the restaurant owner owns and operates and is the EC at Amalinda in Milwaukee. Payroll taxes aren't going away. You still have to report all of your tips. So it's not like, oh, hey, I just don't have to worry about this. You still have to report all your tips. You still have to pay Social Security tax. You still have to pay unemployment insurance tax if your state has that. Other state payroll taxes plus Medicaid and Medicare. So it is not a tax holiday on all tips. The other thing, Lily, I wanted to ask about, a lot of restaurants have tried to get away from the exploitative nature of gratuities by pooling gratuities and then distributing them. And as I understand this bill, it has to be a gratuity earned by an individual. So it would create this massive disincentive for the organizations that have tried to get away from people having to deal with sexual harassment or just mistreatment on the job to try to share it with the busboys and the chefs. And they're saying you can't do it that way as I'm reading it.
Absolutely. And a lot of business owners have decided that that's a better business model for them. They want people to have the predictability, right? Like a lot of what's tough about running a business is having to hire new people all the time, having to train them, having to make sure that they're like, you know, that you're going to cover all the shifts that you need to cover. Because otherwise, somebody's only going to want to take the Sunday brunch shift. You've got to be able to pool the labor. You've got to be able to help people sort of smooth that out and have business owners be able to plan. And that's always been a tool that folks have tried to use. But it seems like this bill, the way that they've structured it, would actually interfere with that.
It's so ill-conceived, and it is such a again, I want to start with this fundamental premise that these people, folks working in the Waffle House, folks working in the George Webb here in Milwaukee, you deserve a living wage, something that actually covers the basic essentials of living. If somebody's willing to work 40 or 50 hours of hard work every week, and we say, hey, we value work and people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, then it doesn't track to me that we're going to say to you, you're going to make $2.33 an hour. And if your tips don't make up for it, screw you.
And that we're going to put the onus on the worker and the customer to actually make this happen, right? Like, we don't have other, this is not how it works at other businesses. We don't outsource the payment of the person, you know, of the employee to the customer. And it just means that we have this whole system that is totally structured so that people get exploited, they get underpaid, and they burn out on work that they should love. You know, people, you know, many people love working in hospitality. They love being around food and restaurants and bars and all sorts of other tipped work. But we make it so hard for these industries to do well. And for people to do well in these careers and stay and progress, because it's just a really terrible system of payment.
Well, and to the folks that are listening here and thinking, well, this is how I reward excellent service. Guess what? You could still do that. People would just be able to afford housing, you know, and food and medical care. That's the hidden secret here. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I talked with Amelinda's executive chef and owner about this, too. If we had a sustainable wage in the United States, meaning a wage that actually can sustain an adult human being, and that was the standard, all restaurants, all businesses that currently have employees that work on a tipped model would be competing on equal footing, because they all would have to pay people an actual living wage. Right now, if a restaurant or a bar wants to pay people a living wage, they are at a competitive disadvantage.
And they're also taking away from their own potential customers. So one of the first things people spend money on when they have like a little bit of a financial cushion is they go out to eat more. We saw in really interesting research, states that had eliminated the sub-minimum wage, they had raised it so that they paid people more on par with regular minimum wage workers, they actually recovered faster from COVID in terms of like employment in the restaurant and hospitality sectors, because they had more people who had some money in their pocket to go out and spend it.
And in Wisconsin, we have one of the highest per capita spend on dining out and recreational dollars. I would like to call us like the most social. Let's go hang out and meet and have fellowship over food and drink together. This is the Wisconsin way. I think we can do so much better here and nationwide for folks. And we haven't even talked, Lily, about the fact that, okay, this may provide 4 years. I wonder what's going to happen in 4 years. That's weird that it's time to sunset in 4 years. It's going to help a tiny percentage of people for 4 years, while it leaves behind the 95% of other low-income workers. Can you stick around for another segment, Lily?
Yeah,
terrific. We're going to pick it up on the other side. My name is Maggie Dawn. We're talking about actual help for working people on today's show. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a call, a question? You can text or call us. Comment 855-752-4842. Do you work in the service industry? Do you think this is a good idea? Reach out.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listen, when somebody tells me, hey, you won't be taxed on that, it does. It feels good. I'm like, yes, that's a. I want to pay less taxes. I don't actually. I actually think I should probably pay more on taxes, but that's a story for another day. That feels good. It's certainly headline grabbing. But the real here, when you get behind or beyond the rhetoric to what the results are, when we talk about this illusory benefit that Donald Trump is putting forward in the big, brutal bill, no tax on tips, it turns out it's a big, giant nothing burger that will do nothing in the long term to actually help people who will benefit from this in the short term. couple of key points, then we're going to continue our conversation with Lily. Your input is welcome. 855-752-4842. First of all, it is simply no federal income tax on it. You will still pay payroll taxes. Second of all, one third of all tipped workers already earn below the federal poverty line and pay no federal income tax at all, so it doesn't help. 95% of all low-income workers don't earn tips at all, so this ain't helping them one little bit. It also says that the tip has to be given individually, so restaurants and other businesses that have worked to pool gratuities to try to avoid the impacts of harassment, toxicity from certain customers, again, to spread the literal wealth and help all of their employees, that's not going to be allowed anymore. All in all, what this does is it simply distracts us from the fact that we do not have an actual minimum wage in this country. We have subsistence living, and then we tax poor people a bunch. And it's all part of the big, beautiful bill that will cut the safety net, cut the things that will help people when they face economic crises, be they short-term or prolonged. People will be hungrier, there will be less food aid. People will have less health insurance, there will be less Medicaid, and on it goes. Our guest this half hour is Lily Roberts of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is their Managing Director of Inclusive Growth. Is this inclusive growth, Lily?
No, it is exclusive, and it will not lead to growth. Even the thing that Republicans have harped on for decades about driving up the deficit, and anytime we wanted to make an investment in the social safety net or in low-wage workers, it was going to be too expensive. It was going to drive up the debt. This bill drives up the debt, too. It's not even growth for the economy. We know that the things that grow the economy are investments in people, and that includes low-wage people, so raising wages, or more direct things like Medicaid and SNAP, right? Like investing in kids who are hungry has impacts for their long-term health, has impacts for their long-term education. They get better jobs when they're adults because they got SNAP as a kid. Cutting those things is the opposite of growth. And they're going to try to pretend that it's fiscally responsible to do this. But this is just going to be a giveaway, a really short-term giveaway, as you mentioned, in the context of a ton of corporate giveaways to the really, really wealthy. That's how the tax code is going to be structured after this. They're trying to take that tax money that they're quote unquote saving and give it to the rich and the ultra wealthy corporations.
It so much of the big brutal bill conjures up the image in Oliver, like, may I have some more, please? Like, it's drippings to the working class so that you're like, oh, I got a little bit more here. Oh, but we're still robbing you blind over here. Just don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain stuff. I'd be remiss. We got one caller on the line and a couple of texts I want to hit quickly. I wanted to say this. The cutoff income level is $160,000. As soon as I heard about this, I was like, oh, well, people are going to game the hell out of this. There's going to be all kinds of fraud, waste, and abuse. It's administrative complicated. It will be woefully inefficient when the thing that you need to do is simply raise the gosh darn minimum wage, which would not be administratively complicated, which would not lead to fraud, waste, and abuse, which would make the playing field fair for every small business like Greg Leone's. And I'm Melinda. I'll take a breath. Let's ask Jim what his question or comment is. Say hello to Lily. Jim, what do you got?
Hello, Lily. Hello, Maggie. I heard that CEOs can claim bonuses, you know, huge million-dollar bonus or whatever, and say, hey, this isn't a bonus. It's a tip. And so they wouldn't be taxed on that. Is there any truth to that, that a CEO could claim a bonus as a tip?
It's a damn good question, ain't it?
So that's going to be totally up to the folks administering this if this bill passes. So the idea is that they would have a list of occupations or job titles, and they get 90 days to come up with those occupations or jobs. There's no real restrictions on that. It's not like this administration is full of labor market experts. They've fired everybody at the IRS, right? Like, they're going to be able to decide sort of who's in that pool, who gets to decide that their income is actually fully made of tips.
And that, Jim, is the sort of fraud and gamesmanship that is so stupid. Again, just raise the damn minimum wage. That'll help tip workers. That'll help all low-income workers. You'll have a more robust economy because, again, consumers, i.e. middle-class people and working people, will be spending more because they can. What do they spend it on? Restaurants and entertainment. And this. Why would a CEO take a base salary of millions? I'll take a base salary of $100,000 a year, and my boss or my board of directors can tip me every day I do well. And I'll call that a tax exemption. Sweet. Oh, and I forgot to mention, wasn't there this little ditty from the Supreme Court last term? Something about gratuities to government employees for a job well done. Oh, no, those aren't bribes as long as it occurs afterwards. Unbelievable. Lily Roberts of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thank you, my friend. It's good to see you again. Can't wait to have you back. We've got Dr. Yoshiko Herrera coming up next. In all of the day's news, there is a war going on in Ukraine and a president who seems utterly unconcerned. We'll discuss next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The seesaw of tariff rulings continues today with a federal appeals court now allowing President Trump to continue collecting tariffs under an emergency powers law. Two other judges said he couldn't, but those rulings are now on hold. Investors and businesses can't plan until this is all worked out. ABC's Christian Cordero on how and when that might happen.
This does set up, though, a really interesting landscape of how these negotiations will continue over the next month or so when that 90-day pause is set to expire. And then, of course, as we know, this is all escalating closer to the Supreme Court.
GAAP earnings plummeting, blaming tariff uncertainty. United Airlines and JetBlue will sell seats to each other's flights, and customers can use their miles on both airlines. A mother of three is grateful to an Oklahoma Department of Correction inmate work crew after they were trapped by tornado debris for more than a week. The inmates came and rescued them in hours. This is ABC News.